Welcome to Creating Cash Flow for August 7th, 2022. Beth.
Okay, so something that, you know, it's funny, there are all these hints out there about how to succeed. And the thing that comes up over and over is success is based on relationship building. And I know that, but I get into situations where people misjudge me, or I freeze out of fear and don't put my best foot forward. And that stifles my success. Now, once people get to know me and know what I can do, they accept me and they like me. But I have not been as successful as a lot of other people because I don't have the relatability or the charm, or, and, you know, I know that's a big issue for acting, and that, you know, that's one reason. I mean, I did background for a long time, and it's fine for background, kind of. Even then, it, you know, it could be an issue, but you know, I'm finding that coming up in my improv, where I'm house manager too, because I'm not seen as likable enough or gregarious enough, I think, to be house manager one. And the house manager one is telling me that he or she doesn't feel supported or feel that I'm out of it or don't know what's going on. And I'm feeling that I'm not included. And this is sort of a repeated pattern for me. Because I had actually worked in a talent agency for a while, and, you know, the people on the theatrical side, they didn't like me because I didn't play the game or whatever it was. And I mean, people who know me except know that I have a lot of integrity and a lot, basically, that I, you know, I don't play false games. That's part of one of my issues.
And do you feel false games are necessary, or how do you see other?
Well, I think that a lot of people expect that.
The pleasantry.
Yeah. But you know, I found I've made a place for myself in my field in law where people know who I am and they accept who I am, and that's okay. I mean, it's sort of okay. Sometimes.
And is it, and I'm asking you this, I don't have like a moral stance on which is better. I'm just asking, like, do you notice ways in which you're like, well, I could do that, but that's just not me. And I see doing that as something that's out of integrity for myself. Is it more of a, is it that kind of?
It's basically, I'm not really trying. I'm just being myself, but
yeah,
there are people who don't like that.
And when has it in the entertainment industry, on the acting side of things, when, give me an example of when it gelled.
Well, I mean, my last acting teacher said that I needed to work on my relatability.
And what did they mean by that? Like, specifically, what were you?
Honestly, what I think the problem was that I was taking classes on Zoom, so he couldn't see my real personality. Honestly, I think that was part of the problem. Mm-hmm. And I think that I've been in a lot of situations before, like even in an elite graduate school, where people thought I was stuck up and I was just really shy and scared.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And do you find that you are able to build relationships faster if you are kind of interacting and meeting somebody one-on-one?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Versus in a, I mean, group setting? And the other thing is that I tend to build relationships well with people that I have things in common with, and people who don't understand me or I don't have things in common with, I really honestly don't really want to build relationships with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everyone has what I call your right people.
Uh-huh.
The people that it's just like, your personality is not a problem for them. Your way of doing things, not a problem for them. It's like, okay, yeah, we gel. Like, they may not be exactly like you, but they like you. Or you guys have a, you know, point of view of the world in common, that kind of thing. So what are some ways that you have found that do work for you best when it comes in the acting side of things, when it comes to networking?
Well, I mean, I thought that when I worked with a group in an improv class, generally they'd get to know me, and sometimes they'd think some of my choices were out there, but they'd accept me.
Mm-hmm. And is that, so that has, you've had that experience before?
Yeah. And so even in, see, now I'm part of this improv company where I'm an apprentice, and the small group that I had classes with generally accepts me, but now I'm doing work for the theater, and I feel that a lot of people are, they're like underestimating me or misjudging me, or they think I'm out of it, or they think I'm not pitching in enough.
Okay. And you have to do work because everybody in the company kind of does the work, yeah, of the theater, yeah, as well.
And the other thing that kind of upset me is a guy who was in my class was house manager one, and the MC was like speaking to him directly and even whispering to him quietly. And I was completely left out of it. And then I was told that I didn't seem to know what was going on. Well, nobody told me what was going on. Right. They left me out of it.
Okay. So now, I understand that you're having that experience with the house manager thing. But here's what I'm wondering. If you really want to make inroads, I'm assuming you want to make inroads in the industry and get paid to be an actor.
I mean, honestly, I'm actually on the fence. And so the question is, why am I doing this? I mean, is it okay for me to do this if I just generally see myself as a creative or out of the box person? And honestly, I'm having second thoughts and wondering, well, maybe I shouldn't be in the entertainment industry.
Well, I think there's room for a lot of different types of people in the entertainment industry. I don't think you have to be one certain way, because there's so many different, you know, anytime an actor talks about their experience and their road to their success, it's quite different with.
Okay. So I guess I can tell you what I had success with in the past. I was sent on a lot of featured background roles by Central Casting because they got to know me. They knew I was reliable. They knew I was quirky and write for certain roles. Mm-hmm. And what my goal was to replicate that, but in principal work. That's what I was aiming for.
Mm-hmm. And so notice in the background casting experience, there were the few people of those companies that you needed to connect with. And you did. And they're like, she's reliable. She's good. We're going to send her out on stuff. Well, in the principal world, it's casting directors. The ticket for you to work is casting directors. Okay. It's not these people in the improv group. Like, I'm worried that your energy is going toward a situational dynamic thing within this group that doesn't, this group means nothing to your career.
Okay.
You, yeah, certainly you being thing, second house person to the first house person and the MC, that means nothing to your career.
Okay.
So if you don't like it, get out. But I would put all of your energy and certainly concern towards, can I make personal one-on-one connections with casting directors? And can I find opportunities to show them my work, which is you going, look, let me prove to you I can do this.
Okay.
And it doesn't matter, you know, as long as I'm not a complete raging asshole, it doesn't matter what kind of person I am if I can deliver the work. casting directors are the only people you should be concerned about their overall general interaction and opinion of you.
Okay.
And you want to start to develop relationships with enough of them so you can then decide, oh, there is a pattern with casting directors. 12 out of 12 don't like me, or 12 out of 12 are non-responsive. Then you have something to work on. But if 8 out of 12 or 6, even half, 6 out of 12 are like, oh yeah, Beth, come in for this, come in for that. Oh yeah, we think of you for this. Like, great, then you don't have a problem.
Okay.
But why fix on something that has no bearing really on your career, on you making money at this?
Yeah, only because it's the only thing related to acting that I'm really doing right now.
Right. Right. So move it, your focus over on the people who you actually need to meet to actually get a job. Just like you, it's the same thing you did with background. It's like, where are the companies? Who needs to know me at the companies? Who do I need to, you know, connect with? You did, and you got the work.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, thank you for that.
Yeah. Good question though, because I think that interpersonal dynamics is a thing with business.
Yeah. But... and people just keep repeating it over and over. This is a business about relationships. And like,
yeah,
like
but
how
you're...
many times have I heard that before, as though I don't know it for the 100th time that I'm being told that.
Right.
But it just means
you only will,
yeah,
you're only going to have relationships with your right people.
Exactly. Exactly.
It will never work with your wrong people. For me too. And my wrong people, it's not going to work.
Right.
My right people works fairly easy and well. Casting directors, Beth. Casting directors.
Okay.
Do this improv thing for fun. Be the house manager if you must. But who the fuck cares? Care way less about that. Way less. Let them do their little politics, whatever.
Okay.
Okay. Cricket. Thank you for your question.
Hello.
These wonderful victories. So Cricket is a cash flow kitten, and her, just for those taking notes and following along, Beth is a cash flow cat. Her side, her main business, being a lawyer by day, actor by all the rest of her time. So that was good. And then Cricket is a cash flow kitten, and she is starting a business, film festival strategy consulting for filmmakers. Love these victories. Congratulations. You said yes to helping out your friends at the Valley Film Festival this week, and you moderated 2 Q&As with filmmakers, one of which led to a surprise engagement, the other to a lot of compliments. You hosted a rambunctious panel of festival strategists and programmers that could have gone horribly awry, but you kept it together, and you got complimented on your moderating skills by the person who very successfully does your day job at USC. You accidentally met one of your biggest competitors for your side gig, and you realized, I know just about as much as she does and can hold my own. Love that. You made a sign up form for a free giveaway so that you could collect email addresses for your mailing list. And you learned how to make a QR code so you could share the form in a hip style that the kids love. Yeah. And you basically just had a really wonderful career boosting week. Congratulations.
Thank you. It was very unexpected. And by the way, the potentially rambunctious panel, I was asked to moderate 5 minutes before it started.
Oh my God, you're a pro.
So that's why it was rambunctious. And that's where all these people showed up that I did not realize were going to be there. I did not realize would suddenly materialize in my life, even though I have heard of them for quite some time. So that was exciting. Well,
that must have been a moment. And so I love this question. Love this question. So you want to set a tone for this side business right from the beginning. You feel like you want to set a kinder, gentler tone with your company more than anything else you've ever done, because you were the straight A making, overachieving, oldest child of 4 children under a lot of pressure from your parents to do things perfectly, My dad was a career officer in the military, and my mother was the victim of that Southern upbringing that punishes women who don't follow all the rules and dare to think outside the box. Well, first of all, congratulations for you have removed, you've gone pretty far afield from that. Just from my interaction with you, I'm like, ooh, okay, so you have done some work. And you have.
Yes.
And as you move into this new chapter of your life, you want to do things differently. You don't want to bring the perfectionism and self-doubt and stress and anxiety that you've experienced in all new endeavors into this relationship with your new clients and the planning process. So the question is, like, how do you create a different texture in this business than you've done in the past or experienced in the past? Such a good question. So how do you think you do it?
Well, first of all, I think the fact that I'm even asking the question is very, very indicative of an ability to move in a new direction. And you know what, Christine, I thought I was going to ask you more detailed questions. I've been going through more of the course, and I thought that's what I was going to ask you. But after this week and all those victories, I just realized, and crazy stuff going on at my day job that we don't need to get into, I realized I am making a big shift, a big energy shift at the same time that I'm developing this company this side hustle, which I think will end up being a company, a full-on company. Yeah. And I was just like, I can't live the way that I have lived in the past. I can't be a perfectionist because it makes me crazy and stresses me out, and it stresses other people out. And so I think that, I don't even remember what your question was. What was your question?
How do you think that you're going to create this new texture? What are some ways that you can create this new texture?
Well, I think I want to make a list of, it's very easy for me to make a list of what I don't want. That's very easy. What I think I need to do is make a list of what I do want. Like what is valuable to me? What qualities that have not really been a part of my life do I want to be a part of this business?
Can you think of one of those qualities off the top of your head?
Well, I think every piece of education that I received has come from a place of superiority, where somebody was presenting themselves as superior. That education and knowledge is weaponized in the military, in a patriarchal system where you're taught to say yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, or get slapped. And I think that I have a lot of information that, and I have done a lot of work to get that information. And I want to be able to share it in a way that is well received, as opposed to making someone feel defensive. Mm-hmm. Or punished. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's one thing.
Yeah. So what I hear you saying is that rather than when you talk about your business or when you're giving your clients the information, it's not going to come from a place of superiority and authority, but right. more of a collegiate,
yes.
mentor, yes. coachy way. You're in the film industry. They're in the film industry. You just happen to know this slice of the film industry. because you love it and you've thought about it and you've had a lot of experience in it. That's why you know it. Not because you're, you know, in Mensa. Just mm-hmm. Yeah. And then they're coming as artists who don't know that slice, but you guys are both in the film industry and you're just transferring this knowledge.
Right.
And one of the things, one of the mindsets that will help you keep that texture in your business is if you just always remind yourself that your clients don't need you. They will have a different experience if they work with you, mm-hmm. likely better, smoother, more fun experience if they work with you, but they don't need you. They will figure it out on their own. They will get their film out there somehow, some way, right. in a few festivals, you know, they'll learn a lot of stuff if they don't go with you, mm-hmm. they'll just learn it a different way.
So they don't suffer greatly on the path.
Yeah. But like, I always come from the point of view is nobody needs me, mm-hmm. but I can have some really good in conversations with you and pass along some stuff and give you some ways to think of things that might spark different things that you wouldn't get right. on your own right. or without me. But your whole and you're fine and you are on your own journey and you don't need me. And so there's just not a lot of like pressure, work with me, don't work with me. Like mm-hmm. it's good. And I know the reason I know that you don't need me is I could get hit by a bus tomorrow and then nobody gets me, you know, but yeah. you would all keep going hopefully with your side businesses and figure it out and find other people and you'd be good.
Right.
So that is how, if you adopt that perspective, that's what keeps the collegiateness and you just allow yourself to have fun with your clients too, and not make this so serious. This isn't life and death. This is film. This is art.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. So I think you're definitely on the right path. And go ahead and write that list of all the stuff you don't want, because that informs. It's just such a shortcut to be like, well, I don't want this. So what's the opposite of that? I want this and this and this. And then you ask yourself, I mean, I think some of that stuff on the list of what you do want is going to come naturally. It's more of you just allowing yourself to decide that you're going to do it that way. No matter what anybody else thinks, this is how you're going to run your business.
Right.
It's going to work just as fine this way, leading with the feminine energy. Mm-hmm. And one of the biggest benefits of having your own business is you get to do it the way that works best for you, the way that is more fun for you. You get to design this thing. There's no right way, no matter what.
I think that's what I realized. Is that so many times I've gone into new endeavors with the baggage of the way that I was raised. And I don't want to live that way personally anymore. I am working to not live that way. And how do I set up the foundation of a business where that baggage isn't there, or when it comes up, I have ways to address it. And because it's going to be hard enough to build a business, like it's going to be challenging enough.
Yeah, there'll be challenges. So I love this question too, because what we're doing is we're now talking on two different layers. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the building of your business, which is the purpose of which is, you know, make some money, have some fun, do this thing that's more creative and stimulating that your soul is being attracted to right now.
Yes.
But from the bigger picture perspective, this business gives you this opportunity to be like, I'm going to use this business to experiment with removing myself even farther away from the baggage of my upbringing. That's what this business is going to give me these muscles for. That. And that's the most important thing, actually, because that is your self-growth right there.
Wow.
So that's the bigger picture perspective. If you are conscious in creating your business, it gives you this opportunity to grow in a direction that's farther away from the strictures, mental strictures of your upbringing. So that's the bigger picture perspective. And then down in the details is, how do I want to set up my business? How do I want to price? How do I want to do this? What kind of clients do I want? Like that. That's the building of the business. But if you can also operate on both levels, then your business really becomes this catalyst for self-growth. And that's the best of both possible worlds.
Right.
And that ensures, when you're working from the big picture perspective and down in the details, you will benefit from your business, even if it never like earns a penny. If it doesn't quote unquote work, you will come out stronger. You will come out having learned things. You will come out better for the experience.
Right.
Whereas if you're not working from the big picture perspective and you're just like, I'm just trying to build this thing and it's not working, and you can feel like you got nothing out of it. So the way to guarantee some success from this is to really look at, but what is this really for in my life? And you're going to be successful and make money, crickets. Don't worry about that.
I think I am.
Yeah, I think you are.
I am. This is really helpful, and it's really, I think, the idea of looking at it from several different levels is very helpful too. The big picture, the detail, the running of the business, the details and the creation and everything, that they are related is, that's very helpful to think about.
Yeah. Because the texture is a big picture conversation. The texture you want in your business is a big picture conversation. And if you get that and are conscious of it, then when you're like, what hours should I have open to work with clients? Well, what hours would you prefer? What would it be easiest for you? What would give you the most pleasure? Do you want to work on Saturdays or not? Like, you answered those questions from up in the big picture perspective, rather than, well, most people do this and I guess I have to do this and I have to do this. And it's like, yeah, you don't have to do any of that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. No, I get to make decisions about how it's going to work.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you can't make those decisions based on, you have to take your clients into consideration and the marketplace into consideration, but you're never going to be able to like have office hours or have your, you know, client schedule in a way that serves everybody. So make it serve you. So at least you'll find the clients for whom it's a good match, and then you'll serve them with more ease because it's working for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also think that one of the things that I've heard you say before, and you've said this to me before in a mindset meeting, is about looking at things as an adventure or an exploration. And that definitely takes off the perfectionism, the pressure for everything to be perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. This should be fun, or why else do it? I mean, yeah, the money, but it's not worth doing something as challenging mm-hmm. as creating your own cash flow just for the money.
Yeah.
Because it's challenging. So the self-growth aspect and the ease and delight and stimulation for yourself aspect are so important and will sustain you through the challenging parts.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Thank you. This is really
Welcome. I'm glad to hear it. Anything else?
I just want to say that the QR code, this is very interesting. So I have business cards from my job and I use the QR code. I don't have it right with me. Put it on a clipboard and sent it around during the panel.
Mm.
And it said, if you want more information on this topic, scan the QR code. And it took people to a Google form and they could fill out some information. And that was really successful.
Oh,
really successful.
Love that.
And then when I was just talking to some people after a screening, I gave them my business card. And these were both like kids in their late 20s. And I said, or I have a QR code. And their eyes lit up. So I've been saying this to my filmmakers, get a QR code. Well, I did it. I practiced what I preach. And it's definitely, it was very, very, it worked.
Oh, that's great. That's a great tip, by the way. Thank you for sharing that.
It's and you can put them on postcards. You can still put your regular information. Yeah. But for kids today, they love a QR code.
Love it. Hot off the presses, everyone.
Hot off the presses. Yeah. And it's easy to make one too. Just Google it. Cool. Like the kids do.
So thank you.
All yeah. right. Well, thank you so much, Christine. Thank you for reinforcing to me that this question is worth exploring and addressing.
Like majorly. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. Anybody else? Sarah. Hello.
Hey, how are you?
I am good, thank you. So good to see you.
It's good to see you too. I had a question about working hard, like, and how to turn it into cash flow, because I feel like there's like the whole thing about sort of being like a cat and just like letting the people come to you with requests. I just tend to like overdo it. But I think it's part of my nature to just like work really hard. Like I have a hard time not giving like 110 or 120%. Like it's something that is I find I don't actually like giving less than my best. And so I was kind of wondering, like, is it possible to turn that into money since it's sort of just how I am? I don't know. Does that make any sense? Like,
not yet.
No, we'll not get yet. There. Okay. Yeah. Like at my new job, I'm giving a lot, and I don't want this to turn into like my last job I had where I was giving a lot and then they weren't giving anything back. But I also recognize I'm sort of setting up a pattern of like overgiving, and then they're like, oh, this is great. She will. I had somebody make a comment like, you're just giving it away. And it really triggered me, like, you know, sort of, yeah. So,
can you give me the specifics around what you were doing? Contextualize, what were you doing when someone said, "Ah, you're just giving it away"?
I was working more hours than, like, instead of the 40 hours a week, I was working a lot more than the 40 hours.
How much more?
Like 70.
Okay. And their comment was like, "Oh, you're just giving the company like all that time for free, all that energy." And
yeah. 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 So, and they're not wrong. Uh-huh. But also I just feel like it's hard for me to not work that much.
Why?
Because I just really like working.
Okay. Uh-huh. Here's my question.
Yeah.
With those extra 30 hours.
Yeah.
What could you be using those 30 hours for yourself to learn more about money in general that would then make you more money?
That's a good, really good question. Yeah, you're right.
I totally understand that at this time in your life, you're like, yeah, I love this. I love working. I love money. I want to grow my money. I want to be successful. Yeah. I want to have a big career. Like, that is in you.
Yeah.
And what you're doing, because now you have, you know, a really good job, you're like,
yeah,
I love this job. I love working. Where yeah. am I going to, what am I putting all this energy for? And you've decided you've just funneled it into your job because your job's there and it has
right.
structure. We yeah. are, as humans, heat seeking missiles for structure. Even if that structure doesn't serve us, it's like, it's a structure versus my life, which is a vague, gaseous ball of, I'm not sure what I'm doing. That's yeah. why your side business has to have structure too. Yeah. It has to have a plan and strategy so that you can go over there sometimes and not just towards your job. So for you, I love that you have all this energy. But I would like you to have some exciting things in your own life.
Right.
That is like, okay, I love work. I love work too. I love work, but oh, I'm excited that I'm done for the day. Because now I get to go do this stuff for me, which I'm also excited about.
Yeah. Yeah, I think like my side business that I originally started here, like I got kind of freaked out by it. Like I didn't like giving financial advice to people. Like I did not like that mm-hmm. at all. Like I was happy to show people how to like open up a Roth IRA and then but then when it got into more things like people asking me what to buy and whatnot, especially mm-hmm. now with like the stock market, I'm just like, that's not something I'm interested in talking to you about. I think I sort of lost my way with, maybe I need to like figure out like my new side business then. I think I lost my way with it. Yeah.
I think your instincts were right on.
Yeah.
I think your instincts of like, I shouldn't be crossing this line of like
yeah.
advising. There's teaching and then there's right. like advising. And you can certainly yeah. teach the basics, which you were doing. This
right.
is, these are the terminology. This is what it means. Let me simplify it for you. That's all fine. It's going to get boring for you after you do that a couple times, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, I don't think you need to have a side business. You're working a full-time job that's giving you money, but you could. And when I say, I don't think you need to have a side business, I'm like, wait for it to come to you.
Right. Just
wait for you to have an idea that's like, oh my God, I must do this. It sounds so much fun. Like, just let it come to you, because you're in a position where you're paying the rent. So, you know,
right.
That. But give yourself the gift of those 30 hours, not the company. Give yourself the gift and start asking yourself the question, what do I want to do? I would ask yourself the question very specifically, what do I want to do with my 20 hours a week?
Okay.
Leave 10 for flexibility that you can throw around however you'd like, but
yeah,
you need to get 20 hours a week to do whatever you want with that. Reading stock books, looking at your own investments, or jet skiing. Like, I don't know, just hobbies and interests. Because the other thing that you might want to start thinking of is not just because you have this ambition of like money.
I'm so ambitious around it right now. And I've never had this drive before. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But let's look at this a little bit. Okay.
Yeah.
Because money is not the end. Money is a means. So what do you think? What is the life that having this money, you want it to give you? Like, what is the life and the texture and the things that you want?
Yeah.
Give me
a taste. You know what I want? Mm-hmm. I have things. I never want a beach house. I really want a beach house. I want to be able to work and quit if I want to quit. Mm-hmm. Like, I want like that financial freedom. Like yesterday I was listening to one of my favorite stock market investors that I follow. And he gave this talk. Oh no, it was this morning. He gave this talk about calculating financial freedom and like so I have to plug that in and figure out what my number is. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, I would love to like be able to be like, you know, financially free in like 10 years or something. And like, I think that's why I'm pouring all this energy into this job too, because I'm like, let's LFG, let's fucking go. You know what I mean? Like, show me the money. I will work so hard for you, you know, but like, they've not showed me all the money. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm making, doing really well, but like, I'm doing more.
Giving them 30 hours is not going to make them do it any faster.
Right.
They're just going to be like, great, she's a workhorse. That'll work.
I know. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Give Sarah more stuff to do. She'll do it. That's not the reputation.
Yeah.
The reputation you want to build is, we are so lucky to have Sarah. And I know she works for us 40 hours a week, sometimes 45 if she's really sweet and being nice. And we want more from her, so we need to entice her more. Or we want her to stay and not get complacent and want to start looking elsewhere, or be plucked from our, you know, this company plucked you from another company.
Yeah, yeah.
And they know they did that, don't they?
Yeah.
So they know that you can be plucked. They know this about you.
Right.
And you want to be like, of course I can be plucked. So make it good for me to stay here.
Yeah.
It's not manipulative, but we all do. We teach people how to treat us.
Yeah.
And right now what you're actively teaching them is like, I just will give you everything above and way beyond. That's not a good reputation. It should be like, I am so good at my work. Technically, you're lucky to have me. And every so often, I'll graciously give you some more time. But I got my own sparkly, amazing life.
Right.
And if you want me to take some of that and give it to you, that costs money.
Yeah.
Just be a wonderful 40-hour-a-week employee. That's what they're paying you for. And by the way, they will respect. This is the problem with women. Ooh, that was very loud. Sorry, microphone. But this is the problem with women. Oh, we don't get paid as much as men. It's like, yeah, but you're also giving your, you're also lessening your paycheck by working extra hours. Every extra hour you work pulls down the amount you're making per hour.
Right.
You're literally imbalancing your income with dudes in your office or anybody else in the office who isn't doing that. You're actively doing that to yourself. Don't. You need to take a stand for women everywhere and be like, no, no, no. You are paying me for 40 hours. You will get my brilliance for 40 hours.
Right.
So take a stand for women, Sarah. You're doing it for all of us. As you grow in these ranks and as you, you know, move forward in these ranks, Sarah, you're leading for women. Don't fuck it up. Okay.
Yeah.
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 But seeing, I want you to look at it from the bigger picture perspective, just like we're talking about for Cricket. This is her chance to move away from her programming. This is your chance to lead as a woman in the corporate world. I'm not saying you have to be a CEO, but just be a great female corporate employee. And don't just give. Right. And hoping someone will notice.
Mm-mm. Right.
Okay, good. And good news is you can turn this ship around. You're so new. Let's just turn this. But the question is, okay, now my question is, so you want to have a beach house. So that means you got to learn stuff about real estate and which beach. And you also have to learn about the climate because you don't want to buy a beach house that then is going to fall into the oceans. Right. Like, so where's going to be the beach by the time you buy the beach house? Also, insurance for beach houses. You can learn a little bit about that. Wanting to retire in 10 years and have that goal so that you can still work. And you have a lot to learn in that area. How are people doing that? What are the best practices?
Yeah.
So if you retire in 10 years, you've got the nut of money, you've retired. What do you want to then do?
Right.
When you're not working?
Yeah.
Question. Well, what do you want to do?
Well, I'd like to keep working. Uh-huh. But so I don't want to I just want to be able to retire. Like, I don't want to actually retire, but I want to be able to throw my hands up and be like, I'm done. I mean, not that I'll probably do that, but.
Right. Do you want to live a different lifestyle? Do you want to live in a different country? Maybe. Do you want to are there languages you need to learn? Like, what do you want to, what is this vision for your life? Like, do you want to dress differently? Do you need to learn more about fashion? Like,
oh my God, you're so funny. It's so funny. All this stuff you're saying, I had someone else say to me, you always do this. You always repeat.
It's not me. It's the universe trying to talk to you.
I know. It's so cool though. I love it. It's literally I was talking to this and she was saying, you're breaking the ceiling for women everywhere. Like, this isn't about you. This is about women. I was like, anyway, yeah. And then I just bought new clothes because I feel like turning 40 as well. I will be the last person on planet Earth to be like, oh my God, it's 40. It's over.
My dog is having a little,
I'm changing. I'm noticeably changing right now. Like, I can just my style, my taste, what I like to do is changing. So I'm, I'm trying to figure it out, but definitely, want to live at the beach and, in the south of France would be great.
So learn about that. Like, I want you to take this out of the wish.
Yeah. Okay.
Put it into oh, no. I think I'm actually going to live there.
Right.
So what does that mean?
Okay. Thank you.
What kind of visa do you need to have? Like, you're entering your 40s and I would like you to journal a little bit around who do I want to be as a person at 50? What would make me proud to turn around and look back over my 40s and go, job well done? I don't mean what job do you want to have, not like that specific, or even how much money do you want to have, but just who do you want to be? And what's the texture of life that you want to have at 50? And this is what your 20 extra hours a week are put towards. Like,
okay,
getting to move on making that a reality.
Yeah.
Because the reason people, it's not, it's so common. It's not your fault. It's just when you have all this extra energy and it's like, well, the job will accept it and I'll throw it into this job. And it's like, but that's because you haven't really made your dreams a reality. Like, no, this is going to be real.
Right.
What do I need?
Yeah. I thought maybe like the job could help me sort of funnel, like if it would take that energy, then that would help me get like a raise faster, a promotion faster.
No, so just be a fucking great employee at 40 hours a week. They're not, because, and this is really important. You have to figure out, and you can even ask them, maybe it's in the employee handbook. Like, I don't know. What's the criteria for how they give raises at the company? Is it innovation? Yeah. They want new ideas from you. Do they just want you to be like a nice person? Like, how are they move? How do people move up?
Okay. I have to think about that.
I don't
that.
Think it's like, well, you work 30 extra hours unpaid per week. Yeah. No, that's ridiculous. Wrong company. They should be, it's about what though? And if you can make sure you're giving that and producing that within your 40, that's working smart within your 40 hours. Like oftentimes the company's like, well, how are you adding to our bottom line?
Right.
Even tangentially, but like, how are you companies want employees to make money for the company, or else they're not going to have employees. The only reason they're paying you that much money is because they think your work will contribute to them making 10 times that.
Right.
So how are you in your 40 hours contributing to them reaching their goals? And you might ask your boss that. So what are the goals that you, boss, are being measured by? Because you want to be a good employee. Help the boss with your boss's goals.
Right.
Without working, because they're not paying you for more than 40 hours a week. If they would like more of your time, they can pay you what's called overtime or salary bonuses.
Right.
Otherwise, you're going to be researching beach houses and learning French. Like, bye. I got things to do over here in my sparkly life, but I'm willing to be here 40 hours a week.
Yeah. I love that so much. That makes me feel so much better. I think, you know, it's like, I was in the mindset call the other day and somebody was I don't know. It just sort of reminded me, but I just had like, it was really good to hear. Like, yeah, because I think I don't put a lot of time into my personal life. I need to work on that. I think that's something that's going to be a goal for my 40s, because like I don't have like this like necessarily traditional like, you know, it's interesting how I have culturally invalidated my own life. Like I don't have kids. I've never had a long-term partner, actually, like ever. It was the only one I really had was in college, and that was like less than 3 months. So like, I think because of that, I've just turned into like sort of this working person. And why not just like, you know, the French and the, you're totally right. I just, it's interesting how much I still have to work on being able to give myself. I just recently bought some clothes. I didn't buy any clothes for the pandemic. The Happy Money book by Ken, what's his face? Mm-hmm. He went through like the different types of people, and their issues with money. And my issue was like holding on to money. Like I became like a super saver. Since I left theater, like I just, all my jobs, I've just like saved. And I, like the pandemic, I was like, I will buy this $2 t-shirt at Walmart. Like I'm, you know, like I don't need, it's Zoom fashion. I can make this look expensive. Like this is not a big deal. And then like the last couple weeks, I discovered Stitch Fix and I bought, they sent me a box. I bought the whole box. I'm still like trying to, I'm focusing on the happiness that gave me just buying the whole box. And I love all the clothes in it. Like, but there's this other part where it's like, oh, like you have to hold on to everything. And I think I'm doing that with this job too. I'm like, I must show you guys how hard I work. It's like just this everlasting circular. It's getting a bit wider circle, but yeah, just what you were talking about.
Yeah. So
I don't know if that makes sense. Yeah.
It totally does. So if you on average have been working so many hours a week, I want you to take the calendar and I want you to go, okay, well, next week, no fucking more than 65 hours. The next week, 60. The next week. So you just kind of gradually step back without anybody really noticing. Get yourself back to 40. Okay. And then monitor your time.
Yeah.
And so that you, on average, work 40. And then if you happen to go over, it's no more than 45 a week. And then every so often, there will be projects and things at work where people are putting in the time for a limited amount of weeks.
Right.
Then you can do that and you'll have the steam to do it because you won't have been doing it for years. But then you want to make sure you know, okay, so when's our deadline for this project? When is this? Because this is not going to be the new norm, which is what often happens. You're like, I can do this for 3 weeks and I'm dialing it back.
Yeah.
So wean yourself back to 40. And I think as much as jobs are like, here's the thing that women also don't get is that while jobs, businesses, corporations love that you're giving them 30 free hours, but they don't respect you for it. They love it. Right.
Yeah.
But they don't respect you for it versus I'm awesome. You get 40 hours, but I'm going to go live my wonderful life and make myself a very interesting person.
Yeah.
And then come back fully focused. That they respect. Boom. She does it. She works. She's focused when she's here and then she's gone. She's handling. And that's better for your mental health.
Right.
And if you get called out on that, well, Sarah, I mean, you were like putting in all these hours and you're like, oh, you don't want me to burn out.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be any good for you.
Right.
So that was sort of my new employee bonus. But I'm dialing it back now because I want to come here fresh and fully focused. There's your phrase. Oh, I want to show up for work fresh and fully focused. And in order to do that, the government, our laws are like 40 hours a week's good. That's why we have laws.
Yeah. You want to know something really, this is so sick. My manager like also told me this.
Boy, the universe is like knocking on your noggin.
And like, it was my manager, like, cause it's like the CEO is like sort of a robot and you know, he's definitely a robot. I'm pretty sure he is not a human. I know that much. And so, yeah. And then anyway, but she said everything that you were saying, like, I don't know why I don't listen. Anyway,
but you're going to now. You're going to start.
I'm going to start. Yeah. I'm going to start tomorrow. Definitely. Yeah.
This week.
Yeah.
So how, where are you going to, you can jump to 60. You don't have to wean yourself as slowly as I suggest. Like you can, yeah. You can just be like, I'll do 50 for the next 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And then it's 45 and then it's 4. Like do whatever you want. Yeah. Or just start with 40 if you don't think it's going to cause a rumble. And if your manager has already said, Sarah, what are you doing? Go back to 40 starting tomorrow.
Yeah. I'm going to just try to go to 40. Like,
good.
I don't
I would, know because that, that bumps your pay up.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're growing so fast and so well. It's such a pleasure. Hasn't even been a year.
I know. It's You know, actually another thing, in July, I was 3 weeks in Switzerland, paid, you know, company paid for everything, including my dinners. I'm eating at a restaurant in Geneva and they're paying for it. I mean, it was a dream come true. It was truly magnificent. And this same time, last year, my other job flew me to Chicago for a week. And, you know, they also paid for dinner. But I just thought, gosh, like a week in Chicago, I was so excited. I just thought, this is like the coolest thing ever. I'm getting flown to Chicago. I've never been. And then a year later, like 3 weeks. So yeah, it's anyway. But I really want to learn all this stuff really quickly though, because it's really getting on my nerves. So
good.
Just the overgiving. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
you're on your way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're very, very welcome. Yeah. Anybody else while we're here, or do we feel complete for the day? Anything else, Beth? You good?
Yeah, I'm good. Okay. I mean, I'm still dealing with, you know, getting my courage up to actually really pursue acting. I guess I thought I had to overcome this relationship hurdle before I could start to do that. But I think you're telling me no.
Yeah, it's something you'll do as you pursue acting. It's done in tandem, not something you have to do first and then the acting. But when we're scared of doing something, because I know when I was in my 20s and acting, I put a lot of obstacles in my own path just because I was so scared of what was required of me.
Yeah, I guess what happens is I feel imposter syndrome because I'm in the union and I'm in a place where most of the people in the union are actually experienced actors. Mm-hmm. Because you don't get into the union by doing background outside of LA or New York. So, you know, I just feel like I know I have my own kind of uniqueness, but I'm wondering if I'm going to be competitive with other actresses my age.
Well, you will start with the parts that are at your speed.
Right.
And as you get better, you will get more experience. That's how it works for all of us.
Right. So I know. I mean, I like one thing I like that I read recently that it has some pertinence to what I'm doing because I read a lot is that modeling agencies, for example, are no longer only taking size zeros who are under 20. They're starting to look at different sizes, different ages. And I can look at it the same way for acting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I would highly recommend, have you ever seen the show Baskets?
I don't think I have.
Okay. I believe it's streaming on Hulu right now. But you can go to YouTube and just look up Baskets. And I don't know, but you can go on IMDb, look up Baskets. One of the series regular is this actress. I don't know her name, but she has long, straight brown hair. She speaks in this monotone type of voice, and that's her real voice. All of the parts that she does, she's exactly the same. Very unique, very odd, find out her name and okay. find out her agency and find out, like, you could get the parts that she turns down.
Okay.
Like, you need to start looking at who is out there that's quirky and yeah. my age-ish.
Right.
But you are living, I'm telling you, you are entering the industry at the best time possible for a character actress like yourself. Never in the history of the industry has there been, and we're so still needing to make progress, but never has there been more inclusivity than now.
Yeah, so, no, it's true. I was on the SAG Women's Committee in 2003. And there we were dealing with the issue of women over a certain age, 40, 45, just disappearing. And that's changing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is your time because there's never been a better time. And it's only going to get better. And if there is a place for that actress, and she's getting work. I just saw her on, she did a guest star on Hacks season 2. That's on HBO. I wish I knew her name off the top of my head, but you'll figure it out on Baskets. There's only a few series regulars and she's the woman who, you know, is in a similar to you. So, but yeah, if there's room for her, there's room for you.
Yeah, no, that's encouraging.
And she's, yeah. you know, she's a series regular and she's doing guest stars. So she's no longer doing co-stars. So you go gobble up all the stuff that she won't take.
Yeah.
And who's her agent? Because obviously they know what to do with quirky women.
Yeah.
Above no, the age of 40.
Yeah.
Yeah. So start watching television, the kinds of shows that you want to be on and see where you're at. Oh, there's a me. Oh, there's a me. Oh, there's another me. Who are their agents? And who are the casting directors that cast them? Because they get people like me. Those are likely your people.
Okay. Yeah.
Her people are likely your people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So looking at it, that is what I want you to be doing with your time and energy versus futzing around with who's and is or isn't talking to you in the improv group. Do you see the difference?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yay.
Yay. Thank you.
There is a spot, Beth. There is definitely a spot. And there are your right people who are like, oh my God, they're going to be fascinated that you're a lawyer. They're going to be fascinated that you are getting into acting at this. They're not going to be like, why are you getting into acting at this time in your life? They're going to be like, oh my God, you're getting into acting at this time in your life. That's amazing. You should also Google Catherine Justin. Catherine Justin is dead now. She played Martin Sheen's secretary on The West Wing. She was also in Desperate Housewives. She has 3 Emmys. She got her 3rd Emmy posthumously after she passed away. She like started this whole thing, I think, over the age of 45, like 50. I think she started in her 50s and she died with 3 Emmys. So look up Catherine Justin. It's a very inspiring story.
Okay, I'll look her up.
And you have to, it's important for you to be like, look at that character actress and where she started and where she, you need some inspirational little stars on your wall, little post-it notes, names, that name, that woman from Baskets, Catherine Justin, like they did it. So I can do it. Instead of when you read things or hear things that are contrary to that. Doesn't apply to you. When people say it takes confidence and chutzpah to make it in show business, part of what that is going, well, that that rule doesn't apply to me. That advice doesn't apply to me. I'm going to be the exception to the rule. You have to believe that. Or what else are you even trying for? Because the odds are against you, but it's not, it's also not impossible. And you're either going to focus on one of those two things. Oh, the odds are against me. Or it's not impossible. Look at these 17 women. Why can't I be the 18th? You have to have that mojo.
Okay.
Yeah. You have to believe it first. And or no one else can believe it for you, and no one else will ever believe it more than you. If you don't come in with the full belief, no one's going to meet you with more belief than you have for yourself. They'll meet you at your level.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Yeah, good food for thought. Okay, well, we'll end there today. Thank you for joining. Thank you, Kate, for being on the call. And
my pleasure. Thank you, Christine.
Yeah, see you next week, Monday morning. All right. Have a good week, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Thank you.